If anyone has seen Pastor Karen, would you please send her down to the front, please? Amen. Ushers, come on up front. Robert and compadre. Amen. It's a good day, isn't it? Are you guys full? I'm still full. That'll be good. Amen. Hope you have your offering envelopes ready. Praise God. Not because you have offering envelopes ready, just praise God. Amen. They've decorated for Christmas in here. Amen. My wife is telling me that she decorated this one, or had this one decorated, because oh, she was here, as a winter tree. You go, oh, how wintry. You know, this is your pastor, okay? I've been sitting on the front row right here. Bear with me just a second, Robert. For, I don't know, probably 3 years. We've put this tree over here for several years in front of that screen. And today, I thought, what is that tree doing in front of the screen? Oh, welcome to my life. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today and this tree, Lord. We thank you that we have an extra screen that we can see the words. But we love you, Lord. We love singing to you. We love giving to you. We love receiving from you. And Father, we just pray over our hearts and our minds that you lead us and open up what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, guys. Lady in pink.
I was sitting there when they were decorating, and I was like, oh, this tree's in front of that screen. How long have we been putting this tree there? They said this is our third year, but it doesn't matter because this side can see over here, and this side can see over there. And so it wasn't just him. I was like, anyway, I wanted to try something different this year with red and gold, and Desiree and Rose and Becky all did a beautiful, beautiful job. Everything you see, they've done. And I sat and watched and put little things on. I directed. I did not direct. I just put what are those things? The little wire things on. And so I'm so thankful for every single person that helps us do what we do here. And the vision to reach our community, to say, come up higher. I'm telling you, the Lord's going to sing. He is going to write a new song. Come up higher and see what I see. Come up higher and be who you're called to be, who you were born to be. Not wretched sinners, but the beloved children of the living cosmos, of God, of the universe, of all that is and all will ever be forever. And you are a part of that. I always talk, and my little granddaughter, no, I shouldn't say little granddaughter because she's much bigger, taller than I am now, but always says, Gigi, cosmic? I'm like, yes, baby, cosmic. We are cosmic spiritual beings. We so identify with who we are in the flesh. In our humanity, this is just the vehicle that carries the eternal. This is what you see. It's what carries the eternal. But the inside cosmic supernatural being that you truly are and will forever be is on the inside. And the Bible says the earth is longing for the sons and daughters of the living God to be manifest, for that spirit to rise. And you'll notice some of the songs, we do change the words. We don't ask God to come down. He's already here. He's already on the inside of you. He's on the inside of me. He's trying to get out. He's trying to let himself be known. He's let himself be freed. But we get so stuck in our minds and in our humanity. Rather, identifying who you truly are. who you truly are. I'm preaching. Sorry, y'all. Come up higher. See what I see. He wants you to see yourself like he sees you. Perfect, whole, righteous, beautiful, handsome for you guys. Anyway, we have intercessory prayer here in the morning from 9:30 to 9:45 on Sunday mornings. If you'd like to join us, we pray, we set the tone for what's going to happen in this sanctuary. We believe that all of the gifts of the presence of the Spirit of God are alive and well and working. We believe that his healing can flow even in the middle of worship. And so we pray and we say, come, Holy Spirit, and do as you will. Rise in us to have your way. And so if you want to join us from 9:30 to 9:45, you are welcome. Starting today and through Christmas, Pastor will be teaching the Christmas story. 10 a.m. here in the sanctuary. Kids Church is also starting their curriculum this morning. And I'm telling you, you guys should just walk down that back hall and into that Kids Church room. It is beautiful. And you know what I love is that we keep doing and we keep doing big because God wants our children to have the best and beautiful. He wants them to hear him in a magnificent way and be taught about him. And whether there's one or a hundred, we will keep doing it. We will keep doing it for the one or however many, because the one matters. And so if you know any children that are 4 years to 12 that are not in a church, please invite them, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things I want to do in this place that will reach the world and reach people to go up higher, to remember who they are, to become who they're called to be. But one thing we do excellent in this church is our kids' ministry. They are our future. I want to remind everybody, ladies, Our Power Ladies, Thursdays, noon to 1 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We are going through reading John for dear life. And that will be, and you can bring your lunch if you like. The men's lunch book study, Hazards of Being a Man, will be Saturday, December 7th at 11 a.m. at Wing Shack. That's this coming Saturday at Wing Shack. Our family Christmas, which I did not do a graphic for yet, is going to be Sunday, December 15th. Right after service, we'll have a potluck. There'll be music. There'll be specials. If anyone has a special that you would like to sing or play, please let me know. And we'll get you on the list. And we'll be having a sign up. Also, Friday, December 20th, I believe it is, we are ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. And we will have, is it Friday? It's December 20th, Friday the 20th. And so we will have a sign up for that next week. And I think we're going to go from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Is that right? And so we'll have a sign up. You can take our shifts to stand at Walmart and ring the bell for the Salvation Army. I know when I was overseeing the Salvation Army, all of the money stayed in Stone County. And then towards the end of my time there, it left. But from what I understand, it is back. And that all of the funds raised by our bell ringing, all the different churches, all of those finances stay in Stone County to help those here. And so we hope you'll help us with that as well. There was a word, there was two words actually that came out during worship. One was that there was someone that was very brokenhearted, and God may have dealt with that. Because in worship, I was feeling that too, that there was someone that was just very brokenhearted, disappointed, and it feels like it is lifted. But if that is you and you want more prayer, you're welcome to stand and we can pray for you right now. It was just a word that came out. And I felt like during worship, as we were worshiping and I was speaking to that and releasing healing, that it was taken care of. But if that's anybody right now, it feels like you just want extra prayer for that, you let us know. We'll pray for you right now. Also, for some seeking him, unsure if he is there, Jesus says, I have never been away from you. I have always carried you. I am speaking to you all the time through circumstances, other people, your dreams, and my word. My spirit lives in you. So yes, I hear you. I am working for your good. And so I'm so thankful that we are in a free church where people can be free to hear from the power and the Spirit of God for themselves and for others. See, we don't have bulletins, if you noticed, because this don't fit in a bulletin. And we've asked Holy Spirit, you can come and mess up our service any way you want, because we don't have an agenda other than to press into him. Amen. You ready?
Yeah, I don't need a highlighter. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 7. We're actually not starting the Christmas story today, but you can leave the graphic up, Becky, since you've already walked out of the sound booth. It is a nice graphic. It is a wonderful story, isn't it? Today we're going to do something just a little bit different because it's December tomorrow, right? It's today, the 1st. Is it really? That's cool. You know, I woke up this morning, I thought it was Monday. Mm-hmm. And now I'm up here and I'm thinking, tomorrow, Sunday, December 1st, maybe it's not the tree's fault after all. Hey, man, but I always think that looking at the month of December, it's, you know, the final month of our calendar year, there's always going to be another month for the next 10,000 generations. But it's just a good time to reflect over the year and to see what God has done in your life, and then to give him, make a commitment to have him do more in your life next year. Amen? I mean, it's good to reflect, because if we don't have any goals next year, we're not going to do anything at all. It's that way. Amen? And 2025 is coming, so we might as well look at some things. And then we're going to look at this story in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36, and seeing what we can learn. Are you guys okay this morning? Yeah. Everybody enjoyed Thanksgiving? Yeah, I definitely did. 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And when he had went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. I can't believe they put that in a translation, but that's what they did. He reclined to dine. And a woman in the city who was a sinner. Everybody go, ooh. Yeah. As if we weren't. Anyway. Having learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind Jesus at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who's touching him, that she's a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon said, Teacher, please speak. He said, a certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. And therefore, I tell you, though her sins were many, have been forgiven, and she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And for those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sin? But he said to the woman, go in faith. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. I love these stories. And, you know, it's almost like, because Jesus, anytime Jesus interacts with a Pharisee, it's always fun. It always is. I love it when he asks them, the people who study the law, who studied the Torah, he responsible to see to make sure that the nation follows the Torah. And he asked them, have you never read? I just love that. I mean, you just, so we don't know what city this is in, but there are several stories of women anointing Jesus' feet. The most famous one is probably the one in John 12, and it's totally different from this one. They're not the same. But Jesus gets invited by this Pharisee, and he goes into the house, and we think when someone's invited, it's like a closed party, right? Because that's how it is in America, right? You don't attend parties you're not invited to, right? Well, that wasn't that way in the Middle East. Their doors were left open, and people would just wander in and see what was going on when there was an event like this. So it wasn't unusual for her to be in the room, but it was very unusual for what she did. And Simon, although he was a Pharisee, he was willing to give Jesus a chance because he invited him into his home so that he could get to know him better to find out if he really was a prophet, right? I mean, that's what he's after. And this woman comes in, and I guess she's well known in this community because Simon immediately knew her. And then he had this underlying understanding that if she touched Jesus, then she would make him unclean. Because that was a common, what am I trying to say, frame of mind. There you go. It was a common focus. It was a common understanding in that time that if someone that was unclean touched you, or you touched an unclean person, then you became unclean. Didn't mean that you were it wasn't sin. It was just, you just needed to wash before you went to the temple. You know, sometimes we think of the sacrifices as in the Old Testament as washing the sin away, and it's more of like a, someone said, it's more, think more of it for the majority of things, the small sacrifices that had to be made or the washings that had to happen, more of a detergent than more of an atoning sacrifice, right? So anyway, because you get unclean just by having life. I mean, remember Jesus' conversation with Peter, one of them? Peter said, oh, Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. And he said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Remember? And Jesus, and then Peter said, go ahead, wash my head too. Wash all of me. And Jesus said, you don't need to be washed all over. You just need your dirty feet washed because you've been walking where there's camel exhaust. So this Pharisee looks at Jesus and he's thinking, it's funny to me how Jesus always knows what they're thinking, right? In these stories, nobody tells him. Jesus never said, I always know what you're thinking. He never made a statement like that, but it's a common theme in many of the stories that we have, especially in Luke. So this guy's thinking Jesus is a fraud because in his mind, how he thinks, that's how everybody thinks, right? The Pharisee. I mean, don't we think like that? When we come into something, I know when we lived in England, the few short months, years that we lived there, there were many times where somebody would say something and we would think of it in the way that we understood it instead of the way that they were saying it. And so we, you know, there was always, even though we both spoke English, we didn't speak the same English, okay? Words were different. They had different meanings. But the way that we think, the way that we perceive the world, we all, every person in this room, I promise you, probably thinks that this is the way normal people think, right? If I think this way, then normal people think that way because I'm normal. And if you think differently than me, you ain't normal. I wish I could think of an example between Karen and I when we were married, because she was, we were raised in the same stream of Christianity, but our streams were completely different. Well, I mean, completely different. Anyway, Simon looks at Jesus and thinks, if this guy was a real prophet, he would know that this woman shouldn't be touching him. It's amazing when we read this as they had the perception of, I must stay clean all the time. It's why the people wouldn't help the man who had been attacked by robbers, and they walked on the other side of the road, because if they had touched a bleeding man, they would have become unclean. And they didn't want to become unclean. They didn't care enough for the guy in the ditch to go help him if it was going to make them unclean. But Jesus touched unclean things all the time. Because in reality, the only clean person on the planet at the time was Jesus. And the temple wasn't even that way. Jesus was carrying. The presence of God inhabited Jesus. Right? The holies of holies was walking around, sitting there, reclining to dine in this man's room. Right? And what's not stated in this story, but is an underlying factor in all of Middle Eastern stories, is there is this expected generosity of hospitality. That you're always hospitable to the people who come to your house, or the people that you meet, or the people that you talk to at the gate. If they're strangers, you have this understanding growing up in their culture of being hospitable. Yet here is Simon the Pharisee, has invited Jesus into his house, but he didn't even offer him the courtesy of giving him something, a basin of water to wash his dirty feet and to wash his hands. You know, before the Sabbath, before they partake of the Sabbath on the day of rest, Jewish people will wash their hands. They have a special pitcher and a special basin that they'll dip this pitcher in, and they'll wash their hands three times before they sit down to eat, because it's just customarily. And if they ask you into their house to eat that meal with them, they expect you to wash your hands too, But this guy didn't provide any of that for Jesus. He just said, hey, Jesus, come over so I can, in his mind, Simon just thought, so I can check you out, see if you're real or not, because I've heard a lot about you, but I don't know if you're real. And then after I see this woman touching you, I don't think you're real. So he thinks this stuff, and then Jesus asks him this story, because Jesus knows what he's thinking, and he asks him this story. And the guy answered correctly, but it's still, the entire perception of the man was wrong. The Pharisee, even though he was reflecting on Jesus and wanting to know if Jesus was real, you kind of get the idea that he had prejudged Jesus, that Jesus wasn't going to add up to his expectations. Jesus didn't walk in there to meet his expectations. He came in there to open the man's eyes, to see that people, regardless of how we receive them, deserve the same generosity of hospitality Jesus should have expected from him, which was actually a greater, what's the word? A greater social disgrace for this man and his house to not have welcomed Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You didn't give me anything. You didn't greet me. You didn't allow me to wash my feet." But this woman, who had already had an encounter with Jesus somehow, right? Because Jesus said, who would be more thankful for the person that's forgiven of their debts? This woman is there because she has already felt the forgiveness of Jesus' heart. And she's giving back to him of what she has. We don't know who she is. She's never named. The city's never named. We don't know if the other disciples were in the room. Peter probably definitely wasn't in there because there's no dialogue from him. But this woman, who was judged by the people in the room, yet she was the only one who encountered Jesus on a real level. So, over the next several days, the next month, I've got three things that I want you to focus on. Is that okay? The first one is, like this Pharisee, sometimes we need to rethink because our thinking is not in line with Christ's thinking. Romans 12:1 says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." This is the good part. "Do not be conformed to this world." Actually, it says this age, but "to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that we may discern what the will of God is, what's good and acceptable and perfect." Man, don't we all want to know the perfect will of God, right? I mean, Paul told the Thessalonians it was to give thanks in all circumstances, right? We learned that last week. Even Jonah had to kind of learn that, but sometimes we need to go to God and say, am I thinking, and just ask him, am I thinking about the right things? Am I thinking about the wrong things? Am I like this Pharisee that thinks I have a handle on everything, and I know who where people are, and I know where I am, and I know how they relate to me, and I know how I relate to them? Have you ever met someone that just thinks they know everything? You've met me, so you definitely have. I mean, even though I don't, I like to think that I know everything. In fact, when I was younger, I would aggravate my mother, and I'd say, people who think they know everything aggravate those of us who do. And she'd get really, really, because she knew how much I didn't know. Sometimes our thinking is skewed. I like to think of it as you're looking at a map, and you found the street that you're on. The problem is, though, the map is for a different city than you're in. And you think you know where you think you were here, but that ain't where you are. That was good. That ain't where you are. You're not where you think you are. You're not who you think you are. I love that Karen says that. Remember whose you are and who you are. Who you are and whose you are. Sometimes we need a renewing. We always need a renewing. This is what Romans is saying. We need to be renewed. We need to be refreshed. We need to have to sit in silence with God. Because in silence with God, the wrong thoughts are deafening. The wrong attitudes, the wrong way that we see things. It's like when you have a spat with your spouse. You know, just a little discussion, nothing bad. And you prove your point to the nth degree, and you walk away and you think, was I really right? Of course, Karen's never had that thought. She's always right. With me, she's not. But, you know, I like to let her think that. I like those reels where the husband looks up and he says, you're not even listening to me, are you? And, you know, his wife says that to him and he goes, that's a funny way to start a conversation, isn't it? Yeah, that's usually me. But when we get quiet before God, I mean, isn't that what the psalmist said? Be still and know God. Be still. Being still in December goes against everything that we do. And I structure our church. I do. I don't try to have a pageant, a Christmas pageant where everybody is in it and you're practicing for the first every night until the thing happens. Because I've done that before. And I've raised children in that before. And I thought, this is not the season of giving. This is the season of, I wish this season would never come at all. This is a wonderful time of the year to sit down and listen to God. Because allowing Him to stir your heart and to show you where you've missed it and where you've made it. The shots you shot and you missed them, or the shots that you shot and they were three-pointers. To get Him to show you how much of His concern that He has for you, that's how our minds get renewed. Our minds get renewed when we stop thinking, as this Pharisee did, that we've got it all wrapped around. We know. We don't need to be told. We don't need to learn. We don't need to change anything about ourselves. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in the first chapter in verse 9. He says this, "This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight." I love this scripture because we think we have to have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us we need to have the mind of Christ. You know, I was asking God, how can I have more of the mind of Christ? Which, if you read Philippians, it's about looking at others before yourself. But He spoke these words to me. He said the mind of Christ is only found on the pursuit of the heart of Jesus. Understanding people's wanting to have heavenly wisdom begins in the heart. This Pharisee, this poor Simon, that it's written down for ages for Luke. Hopefully Luke changed his name. But every time we read this story, we're reminded of how we as humans look at other humans and think less of them because they're different than us. And every single one of us was different from Jesus. And He came and gave everything for every single one of us. The second thing is to refuel. Isaiah says this, and of course you guys know this. This is a very common scripture. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and He strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings as eagles, and they run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When I was younger, I would read that and I could just picture myself walking and hiking and running. And now when I picture myself running, I take like three steps and I'm done for the whim, for the year, buddy. That's it. Oh. But you know, waiting on God isn't waiting as if, you know, when's God going to show up? I think of waiting on God as, have we filled up God's tea glass yet? Have we asked God, does he want anything else? Have we asked him, was everything that I've given to you right? We wait, like a waiter, a waitress, wait staff, the footman in Downton Abbey. This is more than being still. This is taking an active part and asking God what he wants. One of the most heartbreaking words on the cross, Jesus cried out, "I thirst." None of his disciples except for John were there. Imagine serving someone for 3.5 years. And he's crying out. And they tried to give him vinegar. Remember? And he didn't want it. It always makes me ask, what was Jesus thirsty for? I ask him, what are you thirsty for now? What do you want now out of me? What can I give you to put a smile on your face? What can I contribute to you, Lord? The song we just sang, all I have to offer is a hallelujah. It's not much, but it's all that I have fit for a king. You know, it's the story of the little drummer boy. All I have is this drum. My mom's favorite Christmas song. All I have, all I can give you is this. And it's funny how when you offer all that you can give, Jesus will open up and communicate with you. And you have more to give. And not just to give him, but to give to others. You have life to contribute to other people. You have life. It's a refueling. It's a putting ourselves to the side and putting Jesus first. Is about accomplishing what he is desiring for us, and we get refueled. And every time as Americans, when we read this verse, we immediately see the American bald eagle, right? How many times have you seen this on a graphic, and there's an American bald eagle with it? I'm trying to sort that out for you. The American bald eagle was not in Isaiah's mind when he wrote this. They have a lot of different eagles in Israel. But one of them is the golden eagle, and it's a big bird. It's actually bigger than the American bald eagle. It's a big bird. God is looking for us to mount up on wings as eagles. But to do that, we have to wait on him. We have to let him renew our strength. It doesn't say we go to him and beg. It says we go to him and he renews. Jesus walked in from a weary travel. He walked into this man's house, and he didn't give him anything to renew, to refresh him. There's no record in the Luke story about the man offering him something to drink or something to eat. He reclined to dine, but no food or no drink is ever mentioned. And there's no graciousness from his host at all. Are we gracious to our God? Do we spend time with him before our day gets so busy that we don't even think about him? Do we give him opportunity during the day to speak to us and refuel us? The third thing and the final thing, there should have been a loud applause right there, but there you go. Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and taking his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. In the context of this, it's like in the Greek games that they enjoyed in the first century. Almost every large city had a Colosseum. Every large city had a Colosseum. A lot of small cities had Colosseums where they would run races. And the cloud of witnesses that Paul is talking about here are the ones who had finished the race earlier, but they didn't go to the winner's circle and try to be excluding to the other people still running the race who hadn't finished yet, but they would line the track. And then even the last one that comes in, they would all cheer. Everyone that had run that race was there cheering for the last person to come in. We need to be that kind of people. Because if we're going to refocus, if we're going to change what we're looking at, then we need to be people that focus on what God is focusing on. Jesus has mentioned here the beginning and the completion of all of our faith. And sometimes we feel like we're running a race by ourselves, or worse, we're competing with the person next to us. We're not competing as believers. As believers, we are running arm in arm. We are in this together. We are in this believing for the best in someone else's life. In fact, one of the greatest prayers you can ever pray is you think of the person that hates you the most. I know your list isn't as long as mine, but you think of the person that dislikes you the most, and you intentionally spend time praying for that person to be blessed, for them to have all of what God has for them, and to never be the hindering block that it's so easy to be in someone else's life, but to be the linchpin that God's goodness turns on and pivots in their life. And opens up all that he has for them. Because even if they never see me the way they should see me, that's no reason for me to see them the way God sees them. Being able to refocus being able to rethink, refuel, and refocus. Take this month, this year, this closing of this year, and get ready for the next one. I said this, I don't know how many times I've read this to you, but until your experience exceeds your understanding, the depth of your encounter is limiting your growth. That woman, she encountered the real Jesus that day. And the Pharisee had to have his eyes open because who he thought God was, wasn't. Let's all stand. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you that you refocus us, that you refuel us, Lord, that you make us rethink. And God, we invite you into our thoughts and into our emotions and into our life. And over the next 30 days, call us into those moments, God, where you open up and you show us the way that we're going to walk next year. And Father, I pray over this congregation. I pray over whoever that was whose heart is broken, because you're the one who picks up pieces and puts them back together again, just like you did for that woman in this Pharisee's house. Father, we love you and honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.